This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor at WorldSweeper.com. We're speaking today with Ray Confer, and Ray is president of C&J Parking Lot Sweeping, and they're located in Warren, Michigan. Also on the line with us is Rod Moore, and Rod is the vice president of the company. They started in 1978. Ray, first off, congratulations about being the World Sweeper featured contractor.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Ranger. I appreciate it.
If you would get us started, in 1978, what was happening that got you involved in sweeping?
I was a Rotary, and I had a mall manager that I had another business that I was doing. He came to me and asked if we knew anything about sweeping, and I says, no, I don't. I don't know how to bid it. His contractor that he had came in yelling and screaming at him, and I told him I didn't know how to bid it, and he told me, well, you get the truck, and I have the contract. So that's how I got started, one of the major malls here in the Detroit area that we started over 30 years ago, and we still have it today.
Well, it certainly shows you're doing something right. You are very much a mover and shaker and leader of the power sweeping industry. We see you at the National Pavement Expo. You're involved with NAPSA. Tell me, you know, how that has transpired. You've chosen to get involved with the industry in general. You're very well known as somebody who helps other contractors out here and there whenever they need help. How does that work? Why is that your business model?
I was one of the founding members of the NAPSA. There was a group, I believe it was 12 of us, that put the seed money in to start NAPSA and to fund it to try to get an organization where everybody gets together, the camaraderie. They learn from each other, learn from their mistakes, to try to make it a number one industry that we all can support. It's worked out quite well for me.
You are a NAPSA certified contractor as well, aren't you?
Yes. There's different levels that you can go to, and being one of the founding members, I just wanted to go above and beyond to try to make the best for the company. And when we go into places like we do the GM World Headquarters, the Ford Motor Company headquarters, all the big stuff here in Detroit, we kind of do. And with the NASA, we show them our credentials and all the other stuff, and it really works out in our favor to, if there's someone else that's bidding on it, they look at our credentials, look at theirs, and we usually end up with the contract being the right price is there, and it works out really, really good.
I'll mention, too, that you were a founding member of World Sweeper's Ethics and Power Sweeping Program, too. When you got started in 1978, parking lot sweeping was really an infant type of industry. What kind of equipment did you start with? Can you recall back to some of the challenges that you faced?
Well, the first piece of equipment I had was a Tenet 717 that went in back of a pickup, because at that time I had other companies running. One of them was a landscaping company, so we had a sweeper that we had to get right away, because remember the guy went yelling and screaming at the manager of the mall, so I had to get a truck right away, and I ended up getting a 717, which had no gutter broom, and you had to shovel it out into the container, so it was pretty primitive. Then after that, we ended up in some Timcos, and then we went into the Swartz and Nighthawk. We're doing a lot of Nighthawks now. We got a variety of different equipment, big ones, small ones. We have about 40 trucks all together.
Do you do just parking lot sweeping, or do you do street sweeping as well?
No, we do the street sweeping also. Any kind of construction, heavy sweeping, light sweeping. We do anything from a 7-Eleven to major malls. My philosophy, anything that's got a parking lot needs me. So I just go after, whether it's a bank, if we can do them once a month. Whatever I can do to fill a route, I do. And we have probably 900 customers of just once a month that we do for the big office buildings. We give them a maintenance program, and works out really good for them and really good for me, because we can sweep on the weekends doing all the office buildings, and during the week, during the day, we do condos and apartments, and at night, we do about a couple hundred shopping centers, and the trucks are always moving.
And talk about your employees. How do you train them? Are they trained to really keep an eye out for the property owner's interests?
Yes, Ranger, what we do is we train our guys. They go in the truck for 2 weeks, and they'll ride with a trained driver. And what we also do is we want to make sure they get there on time, they can handle the truck, and they keep the place clean. We also have a sheet that they fill out. If there's any parking lights in the parking lot that are burnt out, we make a report for that. Any stop signs that are knocked down, any windows that are broke, anything that's wrong with the parking lot, we call into the management company with their eyes and ears, and really all I want to do is try to help them and also keep a good rapport with them. And then when someone else tries to come in and take the job, they'll go, no, C&J takes care of my centers for me, and they're my eyes and ears. And a lot of the companies are from out of state, so all I do is take a picture, email it to them, say this is the problem. And even if it doesn't include me, I still do it, you know. So if the dumpsters are overflowing, I'll take pictures and say, hey, the dumpsters, you better get on the dumpster people. Because in all, if the place looks bad, it comes back on me. So I try to be proactive in what I do to service my clients. And you gain that trust. And then someone comes in cheaper, they'd rather have myself, even if I'm a few bucks a little higher. It saves them. If a bank come in there or an owner come in from out of state and he saw the place looking bad, that would be a bad reflection on me, even if it wasn't my fault. So I always try to be proactive in everything I do.
Well, that's a good watchword to have in a business, I think. I know that your customer retention program, one might call it, is a very strong one. For years, you had a company, as I recall, that had fruit baskets as part of what it did, and I know that your customers got those. Talk about what that has migrated into. I know around the beginning of the holidays, you are out seeing customers, and so talk about that, how that program started and then where it is today, if you would.
Well, that program got started years ago. I had five companies running. One of them was a gift packing company, a fruit basket company. We'd ship baskets throughout the United States. So I just took it upon myself to my good customers that are loyal and they pay. I would ship them a fruit basket all the time. And then when I sold that company, I thought, wow, what am I going to do now? They all love the fruit. I decided just to give them a whole box of apples. We get usually Fuji apples or Red Delicious. We'll take a big box of, they usually come in 72. I get the nice big fancy ones. And I'll go from customer to customer. I usually about 150 cases I'll take out to our good customers. And gives me a chance to, A, talk to the customer, and, B, now I get in where the secretary who pays the bill, and I get to see everybody. And if they forget my name, they call me the Apple Man. So they all love them. And we had one time a customer call us and want to know if the apples are still coming. So I was delivering, and was getting closer to Christmas about a week before, and they were nervous because they didn't get it. So they expect them now, and it really helps out to keep the bond with the customer. And you get to, even though they're so busy in their office, a lot of times they don't have time to see you, they'll take time to come out and shake your hand, thank you, and whole office. They'll walk around and introduce you to everybody. For a whole month, that's what I do, and it really, really, really pays off doing that.
Do you learn things? Is there any question that you learn things that help your business operate better with some of your customers during that time?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I always tell them if there's anything I can do to better my company, please let me know. Or if there's any other services that they do need. Because now what I do is if they need striping, seal coating, crack repair, if they need asphalt work, I just tell them, hey, I can do that, and I just sub it out. And I just let them know that I have partners that I work with that have different companies. We can be a one-stop shop. This way it closes the doors from anybody else trying to come in. Say if an asphalt company comes in and all of a sudden they got a sweeper, you know, now they might be bidding against the sweeping. Now they just call me for every little thing. I tell them, even if you can't, you know, find something for whatever reason may be, let me know. I have friends in every business that can help them out. Just to keep my name in front of them, keep it on their desk, and all they do is speed dial. Ray, I got this problem here. I got some stop signs knocked down. I need this or I need that. Or someone ran over the grass, got a big trench in the grass. I just call landscape, get a fix, bill them, and it's a done deal. So it really gives me time to talk to the customers. Once you get a bond with a customer, they're usually pretty loyal. So it works out really, really good. It's relationship that really has gone strong for my company throughout the 30-some years of sweeping.
It is so critical, no matter what services a sweeping contractor provides, to be someone where your customer can call you up and say, here's my problem, and you go fix it. He knows that he can call you with the problem and then hang up the phone and go back to his busy day and know that it'll get accomplished. I think that is the key, as far as I'm concerned, to longevity and not being booted out when somebody comes in for a lower price, because there's always somebody that'll sweep for a lower price, and if you're doing your business right, you should be nowhere near that low margin anyway. You have done some things that I think other contractors would benefit. For one, if you would talk about what's on the back of your business card, use that as a surface area to sell, and you had a magnet program. I know you have a catch basin flyer going out. Talk about that.
Like I said, we offer a lot of different services for the people, whether it be catch basin cleaning. I do that service too. I ended up buying a truck because I'd go out on a weekend and they'd have a big inspection on Monday morning, then go out there on Sunday to sweep, and here the parking lot's full of half of water. Then by the time Monday morning comes, if the water's gone, it looks like a war zone. And then by the time you call another company to come out and suck it out, it's too late. So I ended up buying a big truck. I can go out, clean the catch base, get the water sucked out of there, clean the lot. Then it looks 100% for the bank or the owner that comes in the next morning. And it really, really works out good. So I put all that stuff on the back of my business card, whether it's power washing. We do a lot of the power washing of the sidewalks, getting the gum off. We do graffiti removal, seal coating, line striping, all that stuff that needs to be done. We put on the back of our card, so when I pass the card out, it's just not the front of the card that has all of our business information. On the back is all the things we offer. The card's there anyhow. We just have a double print, and it really, really worked out good doing that years and years ago.
I've seen magnets that you did with your list of services as well that were kind of business card-sized magnets that people can put on their file cabinets and so forth just to remind them of all the things that you do.
That was Rod's idea, and I'll let you talk to Rod about our brochure and different things that we pass out. And we have a big brochure and a small one. Rod, do you want to tell him your ideas that you did?
Hi, Rod Moore, C&J Parking Lot Sweeping. It appeared to me one day that if we could come up with something that's always in front of the customer, they would always think about us. So therefore, I came up with an idea of coming up with a magnet with all our list of services, our names, our emails, and just different things where they can contact us at a moment's notice. And it's worked out very well for us.
This year what we did, Rod come up with, was a little folder that when you open it up, it's got a big sticky note. Then on the other side, it's got like five different colors of arrows that you put on for posters, you know, the mark. And on the front, it said C&J Parking Lot Sweeping. We appreciate the business. And that really went over big for everybody. You just carry them in your pocket. You hand them to the secretaries, hand them to the owners. We tell them, hey, when you're in the car, you're doing something, you put a little sticky note on it. It really went over big. And in there, it also has a calendar, so you can look on the calendar. And it's got our name. So that worked out really, really good this year.
Well, it's important to find those kinds of things that separate your business from every other business out there. And you've been at it enough years that you're certainly able to do that. I was impressed with what other contractors have told me about your willingness to assist them. I heard from a contractor in your general market area, a guy named Dennis Gillian at West Michigan Sweepers, and he really talked highly of the fact that he had talked with you at some point and that you had really taken on the mentoring idea for him and showed him some different ways to be more professional. And I know a lot of people shy away from helping anybody in any way that might be in their general market area, but what he said was you had really helped him not be kind of the low ball, least professional guy that was out there, and it really it sounded like brought that contractor in your market area up to a higher level. Why are you willing to do something like that?
You know, Ranger, speaking of Dennis, he came to me one day. He called me on the phone, and he was, I think he got it out of the magazine or whatever, and he was telling me that he's doing sweeping, and he's got a rider sweeper. And I says, Dennis, you're ready to go to the next level. If you got a couple of things, you need to get an air truck for the type of work that you're doing. So I give him the sweeper magazine to try to find something in there. And he was frustrated, didn't know what to buy. So I said, I'll tell you what, I have trucks here. I said, come here, and I'll get you a truck. and then I will give you all my, like, the bidding sheets and how we do all the stuff. I'll help you. I mean, he's not my backyard, you know, so I'm not really cutting my throat, you know, too much. So him and his wife came down. I sold him a nice Swartz he had, and I gave him all the how to bill, how to do all the stuff. And I just told him, you don't ever want to be the biggest. You want to be the best. If you're known for the best, the people will come to you. So he took it upon himself. He took all the information, and his wife worked with him. He had another job. He'd go out at night, and then his wife would even go out and with a backpack blower and blow. And really, he was a hard-working guy, and he just kind of needed a little guidance. So I didn't mind showing him what to do and how to bid the stuff. And if he'd call me and say another guy came cheaper, I just said, you got to know your numbers. The most important thing in this business is to know your numbers and not to go out and sweep for nothing, because once you wear that equipment out, you did not make any money. You have no place, no way to refinance another machine. And that, for him, what I did for him, and I don't like doing that for a lot of people, but he just seemed like a straight shooter. I financed the truck for him, and he was one of the rare people that paid me for it. And then he ended up getting a no, so now he's got two trucks. And he's doing quite well now. So I think he quit his other job, and that's what he's going into is, you know. And I told him, don't be driving a million miles to get that one job, because by the time you do travel time and everything, you got to factor that all in, your fuel. And the way that fuel's going up, you got to factor all that in. So get your area, get your niche, and talk to the managers. You got to tell them why you're better than the other sweeper guy. And really, he's a good guy. So, and I've helped probably maybe a dozen guys like that call up. As long as they're not, like, next door, you know, I'm not going to do that. But when I first started, I made some pretty good mistakes, as we all do. And if I can help a fellow sweeper, I will. I mean, I'm in the Rotary and Alliance Club, so I don't mind helping. I mean, that's part of my life.
What are some other tips that you could provide to sweeping contractors out there that might be struggling, especially in this economy? You're still keeping your head above water and then some, and here you are in the Detroit, Michigan area. So any other kinds of tips that you can pass along?
Well, I'll say something, and I'll let Rod Moore, you know, Rod's my vice president, so I'll let him say stuff. We are in one of the toughest markets. It started long ago up here with the auto industry, and it is tough. It's survival of the fittest is what it is. So when the going gets tough, the toughs get going. You just got to do what you got to do. Do we get our price the way you used to get? No, them were the good days. As I tell my help, you got to be faster, quicker, and smarter. You have to have communications with your drivers. You got everybody, the right hand's got to know what the left hand's doing. And then you'll make it. It's just the way it is right now. There's nothing I can do or anybody else. It's getting through the hard times. In every parking lot that's got blacktop, I just feel they need me. I just go in there with the attitude they need me, and especially if I'm right next door sweeping, then I can work it so I can do their job. And they'll be happy, and I'll be happy. And Rod, do you want to tell them a couple things there?
Yes, Ranger. My background was in construction before I started working with C&J Parking Lot Sweeping. I worked for one of the largest asphalt companies in the state of Michigan. I was the operations manager. And when I decided to come over here and work with Ray, I saw what he kind of had set up, and I realized that we could capitalize on some other things. But the one thing I knew is we didn't want to jump too fast where we were doing things and didn't have any control. So what we did is we started out very slow, and we added in the line striping, and then we worked on our other services. And as we build each service up where we could control it, know what's going on, and if we had to use a subcontractor, know that subcontractor is out there representing C&J at the highest level, then we started to see the second phase of our business start to grow. Because one thing you don't want to do is to get a subcontractor out the yellow pages to get the lowest price, then he goes out and does a job for you, and now he messes it up, and he's putting your reputation on the line. So we try to look for highly qualified contractors and that will represent C&J at the highest level.
Well, that's so critical. And how do you make sure that occurs? Do you inspect those jobs, you know, personally? Do you have people that just do that? Do you get feedback from your clients? How do you make sure that you stay at that relationship level where anybody that you use as a subcontractor is doing top echelon work?
Well, Ranger, being in a paving business, most of the people I've used, I've known for 20 years, and I always kind of stick with the people that's always done me good when I was actually hiring those same contractors at Cadillac Asphalt. And now that I moved over here to C&J, I just kind of brought these guys along with me. And any new contractors that we tend to hire, I'll go out and check out their work and make sure that it's to the quality. I'll get references from people that they've done work for and make sure they got all their workman's comp, liability insurance. Just make sure that they're the same kind of company that we want to represent us.
Well, that makes sense, and that's so critical because your reputation is on the line when you have these other contractors out there doing work for you. Is there anything else you can talk about, Rod? I know you're probably more hands-on with your employee team than Ray is. Tell me, how do you keep track of your employees? How do you motivate them? How do you keep quality work out of them? Keep it to where they want to stay working with C&J and do a high-quality job. Got any secrets to share?
Well, Ranger, coming in the C&J parking lot, sleeping, I didn't know what to expect after going from a very large asphalt company. But over the course of 10 years that I've been here, we came up with different things to motivate our employees. One thing we have as a bonus program is based on the hours worked per week. So if a guy goes out and he gets a complaint on a job or customer calls, say he didn't do something, I'll go out and inspect the job. And if that person worked 60 hours that week, he stands a chance to lose $60 off of his pay. That's an incentive for him to do his job. And a part of that incentive is to show up for work on time, don't damage the equipment, make sure all jobs are complete, and make sure all work is 100%. It's the things that we want our customers to look back and say, hey, this is what we're paying you to do.
What I learned a long time ago with NAFSA, a couple of the other guys, and I'm trying to think who I learned it from, I give my guys a dollar an hour bonus just to come to work on time, to make sure the job is done right, and to keep the truck clean and don't damage it. So like Rod said, if they work 60 hours, they get their dollar an hour bonus. Now, if they miss one thing, if they forgot an empty can, we get one complaint, that $60 is gone. That's a big incentive for them guys to make sure that they double look that job before they leave to make sure it's 100%. I don't want their bonus. I explain to them, I don't want it, because when I have to take their bonus, that means that I get yelled at from a property manager. So we did that years ago back, and it's worked so well. The first two or three weeks when you took their bonus and stuff, they squealed like little piggies. But now they know that before they leave that job, it's got to be 100%. And the second thing that I used to do in the early 90s, I was probably one of the first sweeping companies. I used a company called Teletrac back in the early 90s, I believe it was, that I tracked my trucks, because in the middle of the night, you don't know where they're at. And I believe at night I had probably 15, 18 trucks going out. And I put them in maybe half the trucks. They didn't know which ones they were in. So I could just sit there and monitor where that truck was and where it went, how long they're there. And that was a key thing to find out on the cost of the jobs, too.
Well, today GPS systems are pretty widespread, and certainly they're something that I think sweeping, especially night parking lot sweeping companies, benefit more from than just about any other add-on you can have to a sweeper.
You know what? I come to think of it, I had a company that's being sued for $1 million because I believe the guy that had the center was supposed to take the other half of all these people's houses and then add on to the center. And it didn't happen. So they all got upset and they started a big lawsuit. And the problem was they were saying that all the noise come from the shopping center. They wanted these people to buy these houses that were worth maybe $80,000, $90,000. They wanted $200,000. So they got really out of whack. But they were saying the sweeper and a couple other people were in there late at night, and we had to go to federal court. I testified in federal court. And what saved these people was I had my tracking system from the trucks that showed what time them trucks were in there and what time they were out. They even had decimal machines out there testing it. And when it came to, that's what saved these guys on a $1 million lawsuit, that the neighbors weren't really telling the truth. Because I showed all the days we were in there, the times, and the judge looked at that and he just said, yeah, that's it. What else can you do? You know, here's the guy, he said he was here at this time, that's the time he was here, and he proved it. So that saved them a lot of money. I ended up getting a lot more work from that company because I took all their work. So it was a big factor of having trackers in the truck to find out where your guys are and what they're doing. And for liability reasons, they say, hey, you didn't sweep that day. Here's the tracking. Right here it shows. So that was a major investment back in the early 90s for me to do that, because at that time it was so much dollars per month for the truck. Now it's come along so much further. So that really, really helped us out.
Well, you're not only an early adopter of that kind of an innovation, but as far as I can, as far as I'm concerned, you are also someone who has kept that old-fashioned brand of customer service and support that people used to talk about, back in the 70s and 80s, that has largely disappeared today. And you have really kept that going, and in fact, found ways to springboard to make it better, to bring it up to today's standards. I know that you use email in your company and digital photos, and you have a great website, and those kinds of things that really are key to today, to progressing your business up to the next level. Is there anything else we should talk about before we conclude our interview?
Well, Ranger, there is one thing I would like to talk about. This is Rod. And that's the safety aspect of C&J parking lot sweeping, and how we really encourage our drivers to think safe, to dress safe, and to go out there so they can get back home every night. I know everybody gets in a rush of wanting to make money, and I just think that safety is one of the key components of any business, because they can shut you down at any minute. So that's one of the things I really focus on, is making sure that the drivers have everything that they need to make their night safe or their day safe. Just making sure that they're always thinking, not to say, well, I've done this 100 times, and it's the 99th time that gets your eye poked out. So we try to avoid all those issues and just, you know, want to be a good, safe company that respects its employees, and they'll do the same for us.
Hey, Ranger, Ray here. What I also do, because you have to work with your employees, because they are the company too. So what I do every quarter, I go and I arrange a meeting for the drivers. I get the biggest steaks I can cook for them, corn on the cob, potatoes, and we have a big cookout in the back. Usually on a Sunday right before they go to work, I make it a mandatory meeting that everybody shows up. Then we talk about safety. We talk about safety all the time. And we document it, too. So when there is a problem, that certainly helps us having the safety meetings. I had, years back, I had a truck got hit by a train, and it was devastating. It didn't kill the guy, but it sure did rack up some big medical bills and all the other stuff. And thank God, I, with the lawsuits and all that stuff that was going on, that our safety meetings and the programs that we had set up really, really helped us out dramatically. Plus, it helps the employees. When we do have our meetings, we ask what we can do for them to make their lives easier to sweep, because they're on the front lines, and I want to make sure, just like you're at war, that you have the best equipment to go out there to do the job so we win the battle. So we're all on top, because if I fail, they fail. And I make it real clear to them that it's a different market now, a different temperature, and we all have to work together. If I'm going to survive, they'll survive. I'll lead them to the top of the mountain, but I need them to help me. So with our meetings and getting together with the cookouts like that four times a year, and with our safety programs and listening to them, and believe me, the drivers know when they come up with some good ideas, and I always give them a bonus. If they come up with a good idea that we can use, I give them a $25, $30 bonus. Or even if they find another place that I could sweep, we have a bonus program set up for that. So that helps us out a lot, too. There's a lot of variables. I'm a firm believer, always staying ahead of the curve, and to work with your employees so they work with you, and together you'll have a strong company.
Well, I can't think of a better place to leave our interview, because that's very wise, and it's easy to see why your company has been successful. I know at the National Pavement Expo, which as we record this in late January of 2011, Expo is coming up in Nashville, the first part of February. You're always a fixture there. You always make time for other contractors to talk to you and benefit from your ideas and that kind of, both of you, and that's that kind of helpfulness and involvement in the greater good is certainly reason enough why you should be chosen from 5,000 plus contractors in the United States for this honors. On behalf of World Sweeper and the sweeping industry that you are so much a part of, thank you for all of your efforts. We've been speaking with Ray Confer, who is president of C&J Parking Lot Sweeping, and Rod Moore, vice president of C&J Parking Lot Sweeping. They're located in the greater Detroit area, and they are the World Sweeper featured contractor for February and more. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Ranger.